All right. Those of you who were here earlier, I mentioned that the theme of our day is walking daily with the Lord in 2017. And instead of just having one of us share, we're going to have four or five of us actually share briefly. And what each one of us, those who will be sharing how they connect with God on a daily basis. And I think this will be a great encouragement to a lot of you who just may need to have a couple of little things to grab onto in your daily life that will help you, all of us could find a little deeper connection with God in 2017. That's my great desire, is to find God in deeper and more personal ways. So we're going to have Chris Lazat is going to share, and Jeff is going to share, and Allison Hecht is going to read us some scriptures, and then Klaus Hecht also is going to share. So Chris, are you within ear range?
Yes. But I always pray for the pastor who speaks, and I'm maybe not officially a pastor. Well, I am a pastor, but you didn't say a little prayer for me.
Well, everyone extend a hand to Chris, please. Lord, bless Chris's words. May they be life to us today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Well, we met, me and Jay, and we were just talking about how I think most of everyone in here, our desire is to draw near to the Lord. And it seems like every year we just hope that we would draw near to Him, and that would be my desire. But I love that the way it seems like God's worked in my life is He's always been pulling me into Him. And I'm amazed that I spent so much time in the church as a worship pastor, and where I didn't seem to pay a lot of attention to that for a lot of years. And I feel like I did my job good enough, maybe, I don't know. And but for a lot of years, to be honest, it felt like I was performing a duty to the Lord, and it didn't feel like it did when I got saved. When I got saved at 15, 16, I can't remember. It changed my whole world. My life totally changed. I could not stop reading the Bible. I couldn't get enough of God. However that came. And I think over the years I got it confused, and like I started feeling like as long as I do this, as long as I do that, that God would be happy with me. But I didn't reap the benefits of the joy of the Lord like I did when I first just surrendered to God. It wasn't so much about what I was doing for God. It was just that I said yes to Him. And right before I came to this church, I had a crisis, I guess, in my life where I experienced really bad panic attacks, and for a while I couldn't function. I just couldn't. I thought I was dying for 3 months. I just thought I was dying. So all I could do in that span of time was read my Bible and cry out to God for mercy, because I felt like I was getting smothered, and I'd have to be in the car. I couldn't drive. I'd be in the car with the window down, my head out the window, and I'd have to be with my wife all the time, and it was debilitating. And at the time, I just thought, God, why have you left me? I mean, I feel like I'm in hell, you know. But now, where I am now, I look back at it and I realize that moment changed my life to remembering the day of my salvation. I remember I had this friend who passed away, and he would always talk about remembering the day of your salvation. And I always just thought, oh, that's a nice saying. But if we all remember the day where we surrendered our lives and we said yes to God for the first time, it was really a life changer. And So I feel like the grace of God brought me to a place of being born again, in a sense, where I had forgotten the day of my salvation, and I was performing a duty and doing the things I thought I needed to do. And the whole time the Lord was saying to me, I never asked for that. I just asked for your heart. And so he lovingly, in the midst of the desert and the panic, he lovingly brought me back to a place where all I could do was read the Word of God and cry out to him. And slowly I got out of the panic and anxiety, and I still get tinges of it, but I actually appreciate it because it reminds me of his goodness and how I don't have anything without him. And so now when I come to church, it's like playtime in a sense. I don't mean that to sound disrespectful. I just mean it to be like, I really love being up here and hearing Mo hit those high notes and hearing Kirsten sing and Frank do his little worship on that thing and Nikki just gone. And I don't worry so much about the things I used to worry about. I'm enjoying this family and that we're here together and that we have another day and that this is not our home and that the hope of heaven has been restored into my heart. And so now when we worship the Lord, the words seem to jump off the pages where they didn't do that before. And I don't blame anyone but myself for not paying attention. And I feel like for me, this new year of walking a daily life with the Lord is just a matter of us saying yes to God. And that could be driving to work. It could be working. It could be doing anything we could do. It's just a matter of him. I think he just wants to be invited into our world, into our place, into our everyday life. I love, I can't remember who wrote this, but somebody, one of these old guys wrote this thing where they said, if you breathe in, you can breathe in the word Yahweh, and you can breathe out the word Yahweh, because it's like a natural word in your breath that you can do. And I thought that is the most beautiful thing, that every breath you could take, you could say the name of Jesus. And I thought, how cool is that? Like if you spent all your breath saying the name of Jesus. And when I take these little walks I have my phone and I have the Bible app. And I've never been the best reader. My attention span's not so good. You can ask Pete. I mess up the schedule all the time. I just barely get by. But when I listen to the guy who sounds like Sean Connery read me the Bible, it's even in the tough ones where I'm not understanding what it means, that I felt like the Lord gave me a picture that he was literally washing my brain. And I was being transformed by these words. And so there's a little tip. I know Robin gave us a tip about this Bible program or something, but the iPhone has been really helpful for me. I can listen to this brogue reading the Bible to me and washing my brain, even the things we don't understand, because this word is supernatural. And so there's my tip for my morning tip for you guys. Other than that, I would encourage us to say yes to the Lord, because he's constantly moving towards us. And he's constantly just there, lovingly waiting for us to just yield to him. Amen.
I don't even want to share now. That was like one of the best things I've heard ever. So, of course, I have a stack of books. I'm sorry, because this is going to be... it's going the other direction. from our mystic over here. That was beautiful. And that really is. I mean, I think the essence of all of this is this idea of abiding with Christ and what that does, that that transforms us. And I think all of us have a little bit different of a journey. There's an expression, you know, the internet's coined all these little like acronym sort of things. Have you seen that one that says YMMV? Is anybody, so which stands for your mileage may vary. And it's true that for all of us, I think there is no set formula for this is how the Christian walk works. I think for all of us, our mileage varies depending on who we are, where we're at, what God is teaching us. I do believe that God is always teaching us. I just read this the other day and I thought, you know, this is so simple and sweet, but it was just saying, look, this life is God's school of love. And that's what all of us are in every single day, is learning how to love like Jesus, learning to have that heart, learning to have that mind. And so the question becomes, you know, what is God teaching you? There's, I've been involved in this discipline of spiritual direction for the last few years. And spiritual direction is nothing very complex. It's just simply really having somebody on your journey that helps you see what God's doing. And there's a question that we'll oftentimes ask in direction, which is, where's God right now? And the reason that question is so important is because we need that reminder, because oftentimes God isn't in the picture for us. Oftentimes we get so focused on that thing right in front of us, or that thing that we're worried about, or the thing that we're anxious about. And the anxiety and the fear or whatever that is that's triggered by that oftentimes reminds us that we've failed to see that God is right here. And so I thought, as far as thinking through tips for all of us, the things that have proved really valuable for me are those things that remind me of the fact that God is here. And really two things specifically. That God is always listening, and that God is often speaking. And I need those reminders to clue me in, because God, when he speaks, generally speaks very quiet. That those words are there and they're there being offered, but that God rarely grabs us by the collar and shakes us. He does, but not often. And often those words come as a whisper. And so if we're not being intentional in this, we miss it again and again and again. So each day becomes this opportunity for us to hear that, realizing that what God is up to in our hearts is creating a heart like his. So there's a couple things that I do. I love what Robin shared about like a daily scripture that just keeps us there and keeps us focused. And I think that's a critical part of the Christian walk. I think it can become too rote sometimes for us. And so, you know, it's not like it's going to be like a hard and fast thing. But if somebody is going, what's the first thing I do to be in God's word every single day? Like Chris was saying, I love that, scrubbing our brain. There's more that goes on in reading scripture than we're aware of. It just is the truth. That just like there's more going on than just getting wet, right? That's a part of going under the baptismal, but there's something happening there when we take communion. There's something happening there when we open God's word. There's something happening there. And so it's nice to have a little bit of structure. I'm going to just tell you, this is one that I've gone through the last couple years, which is, this is put together by a bunch of Irish Jesuits. It's called Sacred Space. It just follows the lectionary for the year. What I love about this, though, is that I'm reading the same scripture that millions of Christians are reading every single day. It's learning in community. And I think the same thing with what Robin is offering there is, there's something powerful about reading scripture for us, and there's something powerful about reading it together. And so something like this creates that sense of community. And I love that. So that's just one that's out there. If you're going through Oswald Chambers, you get the same thing, right? Where you go, did you read My Utmost for today? Or did you read Jesus Calling for today? And I love that sense of us in this together, walking together. So that's what I do each day. I try to begin and start each day with prayer. And I'm just going to give you one other little one. These are like Jeff's little favorites here. But this is called A Diary of Private Prayer. Has anybody read this? John Bailey? All right, a couple hands. This, I'll tell you what. John Bailey, he's a poet, and his prayers are deep. And they're heartfelt, and they're filled with scripture. But there's one for each day of the month. There's two for each day of the month. There's a morning and there's an evening. And what I love about what John Bailey writes is each day he invites in the day with vision for what God is doing. And again, this reminder, and it's filled with this, we are going to go take the hill, right? We're going to just give this day everything. This, like, God, I'm wide open, whatever you want to do today. And then he finishes the day saying, Lord, have mercy. Thank you for your grace. Because the fact is, every day we have a need for both of those things. And it's just a wonderful bookend. There's a little spiritual discipline that they call the examine that I'll do also at the end of the day, where I'll just ask myself, where did I feel closest to God and where did I feel furthest? And it's just a way for me to pay attention. I was meeting with a good friend, and he was just talking about how important it is that we are take the time to study our lives, to pay attention to what's going on and those things that are tripping us up. Where are those times where I felt the coldest? I felt that distance from God. What was I doing? What was I participating in? It doesn't even have to be sin. I mean, sin's an obvious one. But those things that I'm doing that are just not healthy for me spiritually and not good for my heart, how do I pay attention to that? And how do I tomorrow go, I don't want to do that? And then what are those things where I hear and feel God's presence? And how do I stay right there? That idea of abiding with Christ. How do I stay right there? I'm almost done. The other thing that I do, and this is just, you know that I love to read. And that is a way that I feel like God speaks to me. Maybe it's the way Jeff's wired. And I was thinking of that as you're talking, Chris, and going, look, I'm not a reader. That's not what I do. So I listen. And I think there is such freedom for us to not have to try to be like, just like we can be ourselves, which is so key. But I've been reading letters, and I've found that that has been something that's been very nurturing and healing and inspiring to me in my Christian walk. Here's like two that I've just gone through last year. One is called Love Henry, which is Henry Nouwen's letters. And the other is called Yours Jack, which is from C.S. Lewis. They were both just avid letter writers. But I love reading through letters. Flannery O'Connor's got a great book of letters where they write kind of from the heart what they're going through. And I think there's a different voice that comes out when you're writing a book for publication versus when you're just sharing from your own struggles. And I love that too, of these thoughtful Christians that have gone before us. Spurgeon's got some great letters. Hearing kind of their journey and their heart and receiving that inspiration. So those are my little tips. This, what I would say, you know, that idea, Paul just writes in Colossians, this goal that like, that we would finish being made mature in Christ. And I've found in my spiritual walk that kind of the idea that's a marathon, not a sprint. And Eugene Peterson writes this book where he takes this quote from Nietzsche, actually, that says that anything done in this world requires a long obedience in the same direction. And so those faithful daily steps become critical to our journey. And finding those things that work for you, those things that God, I love how Chris was saying, these things that God is drawing us towards him, these like little invitations, finding those, following, and then letting him do that work to change our heart to be like his.
Allison.
Hi, good morning. Happy New Year. Jay had asked me to share some verses, so I'm going to read some verses that help me and speak to me about walking in the Spirit. So I have seven, and I don't know if they'll be up. Okay, so I have seven verses. It was kind of hard to whittle it down, actually, but anyway, here we go. So this is Romans 12, 1 to 2, and it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Galatians 2:20, I love. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Hebrews 12:1-2 says, "Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Colossians 3:12 through 15 says, "As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Isn't this nice? Just scripture, just washing all of us. It's just nice. So 1 Peter 3:15 through 17, it says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Two more is Ephesians 6:10 and 11 and 18. And it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and is his might," in his might. We always say that twice. "Be strong in the Lord and in his might," not ours. This is all his doing, his Spirit. "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And the last one is Proverbs 3:5-8. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. It says, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. What a way to start off the year. Nourishment to your bones. Thank you.
Sorry. I was praying that the Lord would put on her heart to join a particular, I'm getting signals from the back, how to hold a microphone. That she would be moved by the Holy Spirit to join a Bible study that was really expository and just dug in the Word. And my prayer was answered, and I have had the blessed privilege of watching God's Word change a person's life before my eyes, very intimately, very closely. God's Word. And I love how it says that the Jews are going to be provoked to jealousy. And I'm provoked to jealousy by the fact that my wife gets to read the Bible all day long. Because I pretty much have to go to work, but the Lord has blessed us to a point where she doesn't have to go to work to earn money, but her work is in the Word. And she spends hours, and I've seen the change in her life. And it kind of makes me mad, because I don't have that time. And over the years, God has put this burning desire in my heart to get more time in the Word. Now, there are a few things that have happened to me over the years, and after Chris and Jeff, and after hearing the Scriptures, what more can I really say? But there have been some touch points in my life, and one of them was when Jesus went from being my Savior to being my Lord. And we talked about that submitted heart. Jeff said years ago, and I still quote it to people, that God's love is always coming after you. It's always like the sunbeam. You can't outrun it. I love that thought imagery. The other verse I came across is in 1 Samuel when Saul sacrifices illegally, and Samuel says, God wants obedience. And Jesus has the parable of the two brothers. And he says, which did the Father's will? We all know that. And that's a great question. Are we being obedient? And God's Word is tough. It has some tough demands. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Okay, well, I'll take a bullet for my wife. That's easy. It's over. But the day-to-day loving, the day-to-day submitting to my wife, the day-to-day yielding and the day-to-day working, that requires a different level of power. And that's the Holy Spirit. And that lesson of submitting to the Holy Spirit and letting him in, letting him come into my life and letting him lead and guide and strengthen and direct my life was such a huge step that occurred when the Lord Jesus became the Lord, and not just my Savior, not just my go-to, please forgive me when I would blow it again and again. It was that yielding, the Holy Spirit letting him in. And when Jay asked me to make this presentation, I sat down and I wrote and deleted and threw it away and printed it out and marked it up and threw it away, and I have so many notes. And I trusted the Holy Spirit on the drive over here, and I was actually very excited to see what he would say, because none of what I'm saying now is on my notes. So I was very excited. And I've learned over the years, in my case, he's blessed me with that opportunity, and that is a gift from the Holy Spirit, and I trust him for that. I wasn't there years ago, but I trust him for that today. Now, I did want to share something with you, since it was kind of like a show and tell. A profound verse that really impacted me is Psalm 138. It says, I will praise thee with my undivided heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And here's where it really gets good. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God himself has magnified his word above his name. Mind blown, as they say. His word is so key. It is living and active. And I paraphrase Hebrews 4:12, which is one of my favorite verses. I've memorized it in Spanish because it's so important. I'm a physician, and I have a lot of Spanish-speaking patients who are Catholic, and they love Jesus, but they don't read the word. And Hebrews 4:12 says, God's word is alive and powerful. It dives deep into our heart. His word, that sword of the Spirit, dissects the essence of our being, our thoughts, and brings them into the sharp contrast with his holiness. And remember when Isaiah encountered the Lord, he said he was undone, and he realized his need for the Savior and the Lord's cleansing and washing. And when we step back and realize that Jesus Christ is the very Word of God made flesh, it once again underpins the importance and significance of living in the center of God's will as taught by his Word. May the Lord richly bless us all. In Jesus' name.
All right, let's all stand. So, somebody might say to me, well, Jay, what is your tip? What is your tip? I had a bunch of tips, but I'm not going to share those tips. I'm going to share one tip. And that is, I just use this story that at holidays when my family gathers together, for nickels and dimes, we'll play a few card games. And we play this one card game that's sometimes on television called Texas Hold'em. And if you've got a good hand, you take your chips and you put them in the middle of the table and you say, I'm all in. So my tip for you is what I did a few years ago. When it comes to God, I'm all in. I'm all in. That's my tip. I can't give you a better tip than that. But 2016 ended at 11:59 last night. And I'm grateful to God for what he did in all of our lives. And I'm glad 2016's over, because now we have a brand new year. And we often say in the upper room, just for a day, Lord, this is January 1st, 2017. We'll never have this day to live again. Let us live it fully for you. And may we have this new year, 2017, to live fully for God. May we all live it that way, fully for him. So when our service is going to end in just a second, I'd like to have the elders and prayer team come forward. If you would like to have prayer for maybe a commitment to Christ that you'd like to see move into the next level, that would be great. You need prayer for anything, that would be superb. But I'm going to ask Jeff to come forward, and because I love his benediction from Numbers. He does such a great job. And Jeff's been a great pastor this year, and I just want to give him a round of applause.